Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 86. Just got done with Thanksgiving, which I think is the best holiday. I think we can all agree that Thanksgiving is the best holiday. 'Cause there's no expectations. It doesn't have pressure like New Year's Eve. It doesn't have so much commerce like Christmas. It's basically food, family, friends, football, fellowship. It's a great holiday. We did it right. Started the day with the 5K. I'm not a super fast runner, but whenever you run a race, inevitably you see someone in the race and you think, I'm not losing to that guy. In this particular fast before the feast Thanksgiving race, this was a guy with long hair, and he was wearing a turkey hat. So his hat had kind of a turkey sticking off the top of it, like a turkey head, and it was kind of flopping around when he ran. And amazingly, this guy, it was like every step of this 5K, it seemed like he was about to stop, like he was like just about to stop, and then we would pass him, but he never really did. We finally did overtake him near the end of the race, so he was, we did not lose to a guy in a turkey helmet, essentially. So that was one small step that got the day going right. We had great food, had both the brothers over, and just had a really nice day, just kind of watching football. We threw you got to do the thing where you go outside and throw the football around. And it was just cold enough that you couldn't do it for too long, but we did that. That's a tradition. We went with pumpkin, banana cream, and French silk were the pies. You won't find pecan pie in this house. And it was just a great Thanksgiving, just missing my parents who were in Palm Springs. So we missed them. I did wear all Jay Hilburn, my outfit, olive pants, kind of the flannel shirt, the black sweater type jacket, English tan shoes. It was quite nice. We didn't take a single photo at Thanksgiving. I don't know how in the hell that happens. I went yesterday to see a college buddy, and we took a picture because we were like, hey, I'm seeing my college buddy at a Lucky 13 in Bloomington. We should take a picture. But none of us thinks to take one photo on Thanksgiving. Oh, my. So I don't know exactly how that happened. Had I taken that photo, you would have seen. I'm still looking to do this Who Wore It Better and get a picture of me in this outfit from Jay Hilburn, and then put it side by side with a photograph with a guy wearing something similar. I'm a little concerned that my custom stylist bought an outfit that is in a picture from like their catalog. I don't know what that means. I feel like, you know, Andy as a custom stylist needs to, she's not following a recipe. She should be, you know, sticking her finger in the sauce and tasting it to decide if it's right or not. But it's a good outfit, and I like it, so it's fine. I wish all my clothes were Jay Hilburn. That's the best compliment I can give. I'm kind of slowly collecting pieces, and eventually maybe 50% of my clothes will be from this wonderful custom clothier. Jay Hilburn, let the compliments begin. Speaking of shopping, so I hate shopping. I don't ever do it. It's almost like I don't, like if shopping was a language, I don't speak it. I don't even know like six words. I wouldn't know how to say water or bathroom or help in shopping if it was a language. Case in point, my wife sent me a text when I was coming home from work the other day and said, buy ricotta cheese when you are on your way home. I need some ricotta cheese. Go to Kowalski's and get some. So a text like that, for me, that's like saying, go into the forest on the side of the road on 96 and try to catch a red squirrel. I mean, that's kind of how intimidating that text is. So what I like to do at a grocery store is just find someone. A grocery store might as well be a Home Depot for me. Just find someone in an outfit and just say, like, I wouldn't even say, can you help me find ricotta cheese? I would just, like, look at the person, terrified. There's maybe a little puddle of urine down by my feet that they'd see, but they don't say anything about. And then I'm just like, ricotta cheese. Oh, sir, do you need help finding ricotta cheese? And I just nod, and I follow them to wherever it is. But in this particular instance, it's confusing at grocery stores because right when you walk into Kowalski's, there's a big cheese display, like in this little freezer case. So I'm looking in there. Nothing seems to be called ricotta cheese. Keep in mind, I don't know what ricotta cheese even is. And then, I'm going around. I call my wife, right? She tells me where she thinks it is. I can't really find it. It's in the back. And then, you know, there's a bunch of different types of ricotta cheese. There's a purple one, skim, this, that. So now fast forward this to, we went shopping yesterday at the Galleria in Edina. The Galleria in Edina is a special place. It's not even Edina. It's Planet Edina. It is like everyone is wearing a Lululemon spacesuit, you know, holding a coffee or a tea, you know, Canada Goose jacket. I mean, it is, if there's Edina, this is Planet Edina. This is pure Colombian Edina. So we don't go there that often. It's kind of a joke when we go there because I'm going to see someone I know because I grew up in Edina and this is the epicenter. So we went in there yesterday and what I find myself doing when I'm in the Galleria is I think I become hypersensitive that I'm from Edina and people don't like people from Edina. And so when I'm at the Galleria, I'm like the nicest version of myself. Like I'll be like, I was at Cole Haan and there's a big shoe sale yesterday. So we went to get some shoes and I like went up to the counter and I didn't even cut this guy off, but in my head I had this like 1% chance that maybe he was in line. And I went back to him and was like, hey, I didn't cut you off in line, did I? Have a great day, you know, have a great day. It's like I'm thinking the whole world thinks everyone from Edina is like these bad characters on an after-school special, you know, where their like son has done something horrible and they're trying to hide it from everyone. Like it's just, and so I think when I'm at Planet Edina, the Galleria Mall, I really try to overcompensate, go out of my way to be super nice. I do need to let you know though that I don't know. So there's a Gordie Howe hat trick in hockey. You have a goal, you have an assist, and you have a fight in the same game. I think this is an Edina hat trick. I went to the Galleria Mall and I bought an Adele record in a Starbucks. I think that's the opposite of a Gordie Howe hat trick. Those are all true. It was vinyl, so maybe that helps me. But I might have ellipticaled. I think I did. I think I did the elliptical yesterday. I went to the Galleria. I bought an Adele album in a Starbucks. So that's amazing. That's almost a turducken of of soft. We had our battery. All the kids are home for Thanksgiving, and so you know this is the time when we have this Jeep Wrangler, and we don't drive it a lot. It's kind of a true third car sort of thing. But when everybody's home, we need cars, and inevitably you go start this thing, and it doesn't start because you haven't driven it in a month or 2 months, and then you call AAA. We're 11-year members of AAA. Maybe add that, you know, Elliptical, AAA member, Starbucks, Adele album, Galleria. I can keep going, but the there was a metaphor here. So one of the things I like when you get your car jumped is there's this period where it's like, hey, you know, you got to drive it a lot now, you know, to charge it up. And over this kind of holiday weekend, this was a great excuse. I'd be like, hey, I'm meeting the guys at the bar to watch the Wild game because, you know, I need to drive the Wrangler. It can't be sitting there. I had to keep it moving. So I had to drive over to Saks, and obviously I'll drive home from Saks as well. So we'll get the two different rides. And, you know, tomorrow morning I might need to, you know, might have to go to breakfast someplace just to get the, you know, just to get the engine going, charge the battery. I think it's a good metaphor for life, right? I guess people kind of have a battery. And we got to keep moving. We got to keep doing new things, or, you know, AAA is going to come. And I don't think it ends well for us as humans if AAA needs to come. So I was a fan of that, this excuse that I could just go anywhere I wanted because, you know, I got to drive this thing. I got to charge the battery. I went to an amazing restaurant called Baldemar Steakhouse in basically Rosedale Mall, of all places. It's right outside of it in the parking lot of Rosedale. Who in the hell builds essentially a Manny's caliber steakhouse in the Rosedale parking lot? Apparently, the same guy who built Manny's, because it is the same guy, and it's unbelievable. It was such a nice night. Our daughter was home. We went there, the wife and daughter, and this place just looks cool inside. They got all this photography, this kind of black and white photography, and all the characters look like they're from the show Animal Kingdom that I've been watching, tattoos, and in the bathroom they'll have huge pictures of, you know, women sitting on the toilet, which sounds weird, but it's sort of awesome, and big steer photographs, and, you know, it's just cozy in there. It's dark, kind of black. It is just cool. Like, the second you walk in, the doors to this place are like 22 feet high, and you walk in and you're like, damn, this is not gonna suck. And really diverse crowd, which is always a sign. Like, if you just see all different types of people in a place, it's like, yes, this is good. The stomach is connecting us all. And so part of the fun was you have to figure out how to order. And we were going to go three flights, because one of the things, when we go to a restaurant, we do not want to be rushed, especially when you're having a night like this, like you're going to, you know, to this Baldemar. You don't want to go in, order everything, 30 minutes later you're done and you're leaving, and it was like you microwaved the experience. You don't want that. So we always order in sort of sessions. We don't order all at once because that allows us to control the pace. So had the harvest salad, which was great, and they had this bread, which is essentially an item. It seems like bread is the free thing, but this bread was like sandblasted with salt. They had jalapeno butter, like a sweet jalapeno butter that was unbelievable. Their Manhattans were like little fish bowls with a giant cube of ice. We did the ribeye, the lobster, spicy lobster mac and cheese, the Brussels sprouts that tasted like an Asian dish. It was awesome. Great server named Amanda. It was just a great night at this Baldemar, the kind of place you're like, is it my birthday? You know, it was so good. If you need a new spot, it's a great venue. It reminded me a little bit of the show Yellowstone inside, some of the decor as well. And it's funny, I know everybody's kind of watching this show, and I think part of what we're craving in a world where we're all staring at our phones all the time and scrolling is Yellowstone might be a little bit soapy, a little bit melodramatic, but these questions, these fundamental questions that the show asks, like at one point Beth says to her dad, you know, the reason this house never bothered you, this ranch, is you're not a peaceful man, you know, and either is Casey. You're not a peaceful man. So I'll be sitting there. Now, keep in mind, I've just probably come home from Elliptical, Adele album, Starbucks, Galleria, and I'm sitting in my chair thinking, am I a peaceful man? I don't know. Am I a peaceful man? But Yellowstone is just great. We did buy some of that whiskey, the Yellowstone whiskey, over Thanksgiving. I can't say that it was anything special, but it was fun to kind of pass out Yellowstone whiskey to other people that are fans of the show. And I'm just happy that's around. One thing I missed, the Black Anvil release at Big Wood. I've almost hit every single thing these guys have ever done, myself personally. I missed that one, I guess, because I was shopping at the Galleria, as I would do. But the new thing that's coming up at Big Wood Brewery is they're having their annual Ugly Holiday Sweater Party, Saturday, December 18th. It's a fun time, always a blast. Live music by Josh Quinn at 7, prizes, contests throughout the evening, and awards for the best worst sweaters at the end of the evening. So this reminds me a little bit of the Flip Cup event that we went to and put a team in. So when you hear Ugly Sweater Party, you might think, you know, that's, I don't know, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to dress up like that. But man, when you actually, you know, kind of dive in on something, it is so fun. It just takes you out of your comfort zone to try something a little bit different, and it was a blast. I have a good question this week from my college pipeline here. It's actually kind of a two-part question, so I'll play this for you now, and we will kind of dissect this bad boy.
Hey, John, it's Quinn. One of the questions that came up with our roommates this week was, when the motto of Boston College, men and women for others, really starts to take an effect on your life. And then kind of related to that, when, if ever, do you start to actually feel like a grown man? Thanks, appreciate it.
Jeez, nothing like just hitting me with a couple biggies. So he says, the motto, men and women for others. Now, I didn't even know that was the motto of Boston College. I did go to Boston College. I thought it was ever to excel, but they probably changed it. So that phrase, you know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. So I think what some people would say is the first time in your life you think it's about others is when you have kids and a spouse. And I think that's true, but I think a lot of that is instinct, right? Of course you're going to take care of your kids and put them first and your spouse. And not that everyone in the world does, but I don't know that that's, you know, all that much of a choice. That's not an elective class. That's a core class. So I think for me, coaching was the time. I helped coach hockey. I did some head coaching, and I was an assistant many years. So I probably had a period of, you know, 6, 7, 8 years where I was coaching hockey every winter. And I think that was a time, for the first time in my life, where I really knew I was doing something for other people. It was a man doing something for other people, as the motto would go. And it really was awesome. It made me feel really good. You know, you're not paid. You're going there 3-4 times a week. And you're really invested in other people having success. And to this day, a lot of those kids, you know, you still have a relationship when you see them around. Hey, Coach King. So I think that for whatever reason, we get so preoccupied with our own stuff. You know, even myself, right? I'm trying to build our company up, trying to figure out our house plans. So I got plenty to worry about just to sort of do the things I'm supposed to do for myself. But I think in general, the thing that gives you the most fulfillment is when you do things for other people. And too often we maybe make that the extra credit question. You know, it's like, it's kind of like you think of your family budget. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll put $50 in the little collection thing at church on Sunday. But you wouldn't think twice to spend $50 on pull tabs at the 6:17 on, you know, at 11 p.m. at night, right? So I think at some point, whether it's an event that happens to you or some sort of wisdom, you do start to look at, you know, men and women for others. You know, doing things for others is how you make your soul feel good. Your second question, when do you feel like a grown man? I'm going to change that to a grown ass man, a gam. I do have an answer to this. So it's not what you think. When you're your age, when you're in college, you have tons of time to think. When you're in your 20s, you think about all the different versions of yourself and what kind of job do you want to have? And if you were a character in a book, who would you be? And what's the perfect girl for you? And you are just inside your own head, even though you don't really know a lot, but you spend a lot of time thinking about different scenarios and versions of yourself. Eventually you get married and you have kids and you would think, oh wow, now I'm a grown man because I have a child and I need to support that child and I have a spouse. But really that's a blur. You know, when you get married, have kids, it is just, you kind of just wake up, you know, maybe 10 years later and you are, it's a blur. So I would say only recently have I felt like a grown man. And I can be really direct with my answer. I think you become a grown man when the access for time to think meets the access for experiences you've had. So as your kids leave the house, and you know, in my case, I'm in my late 40s, empty nester, I have time to think. Even sitting down here alone in my basement doing a podcast for 30 minutes, I have plenty of time to with my thoughts. But now, unlike those 20-somethings, I have experience. I've done some things. I've done some things right. I've done some things wrong. And so that, to me, is what makes me feel like a grown man. And so it's going to take a while. Until you're alone with your thoughts and you have enough experience to feel, you know, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, do I have like bags under my eyes? You know, have I been president of the United States for the last 4 years? What's happening to my face? Or even I remember loading my son into college and you know, having a tinge in my knee, you know, walking back to the car and thinking, wow, am I going to fall down if I have to carry the futon? So I think it's that combo of experience with some time to think. I got to see my old buddy Will Anderson today. We went up to the St. John's football game. I got to spend time with really one of the best insurance agents on the planet. I had a buddy out in Colorado. He said he is so tired of Jake from State Farm and bad advertising. he's considering making a switch. And as a matter of fact, on the way up to St. John's, I said, Willie, what states do you cover? He's rattling them off, Kentucky, this, that, Colorado. As a matter of fact, yes, I do. So I'm going to have to connect my buddy, who is just tired of Jake from State Farm popping into his television. He's going to find Willie Anderson's going to be there for him. He's going to explain the changes like it's a children's book. He's going to answer his phone. And really, he's going to be the best insurance guy he ever had. Because as Willie says, as a rule, stupidity is covered. And, okay, my stupidity. I'm going to give you a little pattern of events. I'm going to give you a couple things on the drinking side to finish with. The first is we have a blink camera on the on our house, and you guys know this, but they should just call this thing drink. It shouldn't be called blink. It should be called drink, because there's really nothing worse than knowing that there's footage of you. You know, you're being filmed. You know, if you had a big night and you came home and you're carrying a small baby doll that you picked up at a brewery and a frozen pizza and you're wearing a feather boa, there's video of you walking into the house. And, you know, so that's always there as kind of a gut check, I think. I think the blink or the drink security system is always there to keep you in check. But here is the recipe of what happens when I go too far over the line. And this is not extreme. This is not an extreme story, but it's just a really indicative story. So my deal when I'm drinking is once I get to the point where I'm in one, I really don't want it to end. So I'm the, you know, one more, you know, if I were at a concert, I'm basically chanting one more song, one more song. But like, I'm doing it before the concert even starts. I'm already, it's like before I start drinking, I'm worried about losing my buzz. And so inevitably, at the end of the night is when trouble happens. And I'm trying to learn that once you've had a good night, take the good night and go home. That's it. You've had a good night. You don't need to go to the extra spot. You don't need to go to the spot after the extra spot. Just go home, put it in the bank. You had a nice evening. And if I were a grown-ass man, I should probably be better at this. But the what I'll typically do, the only way I can describe it is it's as if I'm writing letters to myself. So it's late in the night. In this particular example, we were at this neighborhood blind date. I know we're going home at the end of the dinner. And so I'm having a couple beers at the dinner. I'm almost like I'm writing these letters. I'm stamping them. It's my address on it. I'm sending them in the mail thinking, yeah, you know, I'm kind of throwing stuff down the hatch. You know, it's going to hit me in a little bit. You know, I'm investing in my buzz. On the way home, one quick stop at the 617 pub, essentially near our house. You know, and then all of a sudden, it's like you open your front door and there's just a stack of those letters, all of those beers that you sent to yourself at the very end of the night. Like, I'm the guy that could have a beer on his nightstand at the hotel, right? Like, you didn't, like, no, you don't need that. Like, even if you stop drinking now, you won't even reach your full buzz until you're 2 hours into your slumber, but I'm still having another beer on the nightstand before I go to bed. I want to eliminate that. I want to eliminate it because that next day, that cone of shame, that anxiety that you wake up with, and I it's the same recipe. You wake up, you know, go get the paper in my Tony Soprano jumpsuit, grab the phone, go backwards to the last moment I was sober in the text, and kind of flip, okay, Yep, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. I mean, it's no good. So how do I learn to just call it and feel good about it and go home and put a bow on it? You know, what a nice night. Even Baltimore, we go to this restaurant. We have to stop on the way home, you know, do a little drive-by where you should just go straight home. You're already full. You're already full. You're just going to spill. You can't taste the bacon on the grilled cheese. Just go home. You got it. You're full. You won. You had it. And you don't need more. So that's a lesson I'm going to work on. I think between that and doing more for other people, and keep on charging that battery. You gotta drive to keep it alive. Get it.
When the night was cool and the air was sweet, I could see the moon on the top of her feet, the people there.